Let's head to Canada now, where a high-profile trial involving a man accused of murdering multiple Indigenous women has begun. Our correspondent Ashley Stewart has the details.
This is a very high-profile murder trial that has just begun in Winnipeg in Manitoba. It's for a man named Jeremy Skibicki. He's a Canadian man accused of murdering four Indigenous women 2 years ago. He's in his mid-30s. He's accused of taking the women home and sexually assaulting them before murdering them. All of those victims were First Nations women, so it's caused quite an upset over here. Skibicki was arrested that same year in 2022 after the remains of one of his victims was discovered in a garbage bin and at a local landfill. And the bodies of two more were supposedly disposed at a separate landfill north of the city, but their remains have actually never been found. And the location of the remains of the fourth victim, who is unnamed, is unknown. So there's a lot of controversy around this case and a lot of unknowns as well. Skibicki has actually pleaded not guilty to four first-degree murder charges, and in a bit of an unexpected development on Monday, his lawyers said that he admitted to the killings, but he's going to argue that he is not criminally responsible due to a mental disorder, so that's going to change the course of the trial. That trial is expected to continue through early June, so we still have a while yet.
Canada and India, they haven't been getting along lately, and I assume this is in relation to, well, the alleged assassination on Canadian soil that Justin Trudeau has been talking about publicly.
Indeed, we're talking about a lot of murders this week, unfortunately. But yes, so there was a Sikh activist, his name was Hardeep Singh Nijjar. He was shot dead last June as he left a temple in Surrey, British Columbia, which kind of sparked this ongoing spat between Canada and India, which has not fizzled out. It's heated up again this week. So Nijjar, he was an activist for the creation of a Sikh homeland called Khalistan, and his death sparked this wave of protests and rallies against Indian diplomats in Canada. That worsened when Justin Trudeau said in September that an investigation into his death showed that there was a possible link to agents of the Indian government. Obviously, India has vehemently denied these allegations, but it does come at a time when there are heightened tensions around foreign interference in Canada after we've just had this huge probe into Chinese interference during the 2019 election. So this week, the RCMP charged three Indian nationals in the death of Nijjar, and the barbs have really been flying all week since those arrests. So a couple of days ago, India's foreign affairs minister accused Canada of welcoming criminals and said that Canada is the number one driver of what he describes as a violent movement of Sikhs trying to carve their own country out of India. However, I mean, Canada has repeatedly insisted that India has not proven that people it accuses of terrorism have actually done anything that meets the threshold under Canada's criminal code. Earlier this year, a senior Canadian Foreign Service bureaucrat told MPs that Canadian officials have actually been offering their Indian counterparts workshops on the rule of law because India's definition of terrorism does not always compute. It's not directly comparable. However, it has just been discovered a couple of days ago, the news came out that one of the accused in this case of the assassination had bragged online about getting his student visa within days, which has also pointed to kind of long-standing criticism of the international student visa being too easy to get and the process around that being not strict enough.
Let's take a change in direction. Public servants in Canada, they've been told in no uncertain terms to get back into the office. Are they keen or not?
The Canadian government this week has told all public servants, with a few exceptions, to be back in the office 3 days a week, starting on September 9th, with no exceptions as to the people that are going to be forced back in. The Treasury Board said in a statement that it's updated its policy to maximise the benefits of presence in the workplace, which is an interesting statement, and to bring greater fairness and consistency to the application of hybrid work. So that's obviously made a lot of people unhappy. It's an increase from the current rules that require workers in two or 3 days a week, depending on the department, but those days could before also be averaged over a month, so it wasn't strictly a per week thing. The public servants are not taking this lying down. Several federal public service unions are putting together formal complaints against this, saying that by mandating people to return, the federal government is essentially undermining collective agreements. One of the unions also wants the current 2 to 3 day plan maintained, and the national president of that union has actually come out and said that there will be a quote summer of discontent if that doesn't happen, and he's telling his members to file their own individual grievances. So people are very, very unhappy about being told to get back into the office.
That is our Canada correspondent Ashley Stewart.